You're listening to Social 545, where we discuss what's trending in social media and interview weekly guests. Now, here are your hosts, Saba Siddiqui and Carlos Gill.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Social 545. My name is Saba and I'm your co-host.
Hey, what's happening to all of our listeners out there? I'm Carlos Gill, your other co-host here on Social 545. We are really excited to have our guest joining us today. She is Miss Frankie Greek, aka Social Media Whiz Kid, and also the voice behind the Shorty Awards. Welcome to Social 545, Frankie.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us.
We're super excited to have you. I know that we just did an episode on Shorty Awards, just basically covering the basics, but we wanted to kind of get you on, talk about, you know, your journey through social media and what you're currently doing. So let's just start with, you know, tell us about yourself. How did you end up in the social media game?
Sure. So I went to school for broadcast journalism, and I kind of like haphazardly landed on that as a major, because in high school I was that girl who was like involved in everything. Like, I was in every club, I was the president of stuff, I was like the student representative of the school board. And when I was like sitting down applying to schools, like the only thing that I really, really enjoyed that I could think of was when I got to like stand up in front of my school at like pep rallies and assemblies and stuff. Like, I really liked that. So I was like, okay, I want to talk for a living. The only way you can talk for a living is if you're on TV. So I went to school for broadcast journalism. Really fell in love with journalism, really fell in love with storytelling. And then as I was getting my degree, I just got real into the internet. Like, I probably fell in love with Tumblr first, and then that quickly led to YouTube. And at the same time, I was taking all these classes on storytelling and the digital space. And I was like shooting and editing news packages for like my journalism course. And I just really fell in love with like YouTube and video editing. So then I started working in radio. I did like a ton of internships, and my last internship was for a radio station. And after the end of my internship, they offered me a job. So I was like running their internship program. I was co-hosting and producing their morning show. And then I was doing some social stuff for them, for all their accounts, and some other like advertising stuff. And I really, really loved the social side of it. And I loved how, you know, we would talk about stuff on the morning show, and then it would really easily translate to social, and people were interacting with us in a way that was like super new. And not everyone feels comfortable calling into a radio station, but some people feel comfortable like tweeting or posting on Facebook and stuff like that. So at the same time I was doing that, I started getting real into Snapchat, and I just like thought it was really awesome. This was right around the time Stories came out, and I remember the first time that I saw Snapchat, I was like, this is stupid. And the first time I saw Stories, I was like, no one's going to use this. So I was wrong. And I would start just doing Snapchats, like mostly just sending to other people. Like, I didn't post my story a lot at first. And I would show like what we were doing on the show, like what we were going to talk about. And we did a lot of events in the community. So I'd be like, all right, like, what's up? We're at this elementary school. Like, you know, just showing people what it was like to work at the radio station. And it was a young, we had like a huge internship program. We had like 30 interns at a time. And they were all, you know, college students. And so they were all on Snapchat. And we just started using it a lot. And I was bartending at the time too. And this is all happening in State College, Pennsylvania. That's where I went to Penn State. And I bartended at this, like, kind of bougie bar that was, like, it was, like, a restaurant and bar. And none of my friends would ever want to come visit me because they had it in their head that it was super expensive. So me and the girl that I bartended with would always make these, like, really long Snapchat stories about, like, our specials and, like, what was going on that night and, like, why you should come visit us at work. And it, like, only kind of worked. But, yeah, and that's when that was the first time. Like, and I didn't have a ton of eyes on it then. It was just kind of something that I was doing for fun. But that was the first time where I was like, dang, like, people watch Snapchat. Like, because people would talk to me about it a lot. And it was really cool. So then I moved to New York. Mm-hmm. And that's when everything kind of started picking up. And I got involved with the Shorty Awards. I took over their Snapchat for the award show last year. And they didn't really have a plan. I didn't really have a plan. I was like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm at this award show. I'm with all these creators. Like, how am I going to get people to do stuff with me? Like, mm-hmm. It seemed kind of crazy to me, but I just kind of parked myself at the end of the teal carpet. So the Shorty Awards has a teal carpet instead of a red carpet. And then they have like their step and repeat, and they were having everyone just come down, and, you know, they were doing all of the press photos and interviews, and then like an interview for a live stream. And then I would just grab them like when they thought they were done, when they thought they were in the clear, and be like, hey, I'm running the Shorty Awards Snapchat. Like, do you want to do a snap real quick? And I was super nervous about it, but it was so fun and people were so into it. Like, Bella Thorne thought it was the coolest thing in the entire world and like shouted us out on her Snapchat. And I got Tyler Oakley to do it. I got like the guy from Panic at the Disco to do it. It was really cool. I almost got Bill Nye, but I didn't.
Yeah.
Someone grabbed him. But yeah, so then after that, I just kind of really, you know, fell like went hardcore into Snapchat and, you know, thought that like this was a really good way to reach people, both, you know, as a human, me, and like my personal brand, and then like for the Shorty Awards as a brand.
You know, I got to give it up to you, Frankie. So I've been following you for quite some time now, and you're definitely a rising star in the social media and the creator space. So I tip my hat to you, and it's great listening to your background, because so many times we start following these folks, or it's Snapchat, or you mentioned Tyler Oakley. I'm a big fan of his. I've been following him on YouTube for years. You follow a lot of these creators, but you really don't know the background behind them or how they got started. So as I see that you're the voice and the host of the Shorties on social, you're doing things like the ball drop in Times Square, which I know Saba and I want to get to here in this episode. Yeah. As you're doing these things, I say, wow, this person's really talented. How do you think your experience in more traditional broadcast media and journalism, how has that helped you transcend into the career that you have today in social?
I was thinking about this the other day, actually. There was one thing. I did an internship in TV news for like a local news station in my hometown. It was News 8, WGAL. And I worked there for an entire summer. I got to do a lot of really cool stuff. Like, I would go out on assignment with the reporters, and then I was like shooting and editing news packages and stuff. And on my last day, they like asked me like what I had learned. And I remember saying that the news was conversational, that, you know, when I first came in, I was like, I'm going to be the all-star intern and I'm going to, you know, have the best editing and I'm going to like write these packages and, you know, write these scripts and stuff that have like all of these like really big words and stuff. And every time, like, whoever looked over it would be like, we're not doing this. We're not putting this on the air, because you have to talk to people like you're just talking to people in TV news. And that really, really stuck with me. And then when I worked in radio, a lot of it was just kind of, you know, taking the video portion out of it. Like, mm-hmm. You're still just talking with people, and people have to be able to relate to things, and they have to be able to like want to jump into things. So I think in working in social now, and why I took to Snapchat specifically, is that like you just got to be real and you got to be yourself. And it's kind of like taking that like very conversational tone and making it an actual conversation, because like my snaps are open. Anyone can respond back to me like with what I'm saying. And like, that's why I love Twitter too. It's like, it's just one big conversation that's happening. And it's less, I like that social media is going in a direction where we're not just broadcasting out anymore. And people are actually like engaging and, you know, starting discussions that have meaning. And I think a lot of those things wouldn't be possible without social media. But working in traditional media definitely taught me. I mean, I would say that on a high level, and then also like on another level, like I just, you know, I have experience being on camera, and I have experience, like I don't hate the sound of my own voice because I worked in radio for a year, and like you just get used to it. I promise you get used to it. At first I was like, oh God, I sound like that. But yeah, I definitely think that.
I think we've all gone through that, you know, just interject. I think, you know, what's challenging, especially about mediums like Snapchat, is it forces you to tell stories 10 seconds at a time. Like, exactly. You have to learn how to communicate and speak and cut yourself off, but then still make it flow.
Yeah, I love it. I love it because it makes everyone just get to the point. Like, there's so many times where we were doing interviews. We were doing like interviews like in the studio at the radio station, or like when you're doing it on the news, and like with that you can edit it obviously and it takes a long time or whatever. But with Snapchat, like especially if I'm interviewing someone else, like if I'm with someone, I want them to explain something, like you got to get to the point because you only have 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. And I love that more brands are using Snapchat and more media outlets using Snapchat. And I tweeted about this a while ago, but I think that Snapchat's like the best thing that's ever happened to a red carpet, because I've seen so many red carpet interviews that are just so painfully long and everyone's uncomfortable. And on Snapchat, it's just more informal. Everyone's having fun. I mean, like, I've gotten to do a few carpets since the Shorty Awards at like BeautyCon and Gen Beauty and things like that. And it's, people are just like, oh, it's a phone, cool. Like, and you know, they're just part of the conversation with you. And like, you do it in selfie mode and it's like less intimidating. And it's, you just have like more of a real genuine connection.
You know, what's interesting, I like that you talked about how like storytelling came from like your background in regular broadcasting, because I think so many people in this space of social media and, you know, Snapchat, they don't understand it. They're confused. They're always like, oh, but what do you mean by storytelling? And you're telling us like that came from traditional media. But for some reason, people don't even see that correlation. Like, storytelling is not new. Just the mediums and the channels and the technology we have is completely new. So I think that's so interesting that you brought that up. I don't think we've had anyone on our show, Carlos, I mean, you can attest to this, talk about that, because they always talk about how it's so new, telling the story, you know, telling the narrative. I love that you talked about the red carpet. Let's talk a little bit more about kind of your experience at the New Year's Eve ball drop in New York, because that's how I originally connected with you. I remember a friend of mine who lives in New York told me, oh, hey, you know, you should follow this account. And I was like, all right, if he's telling me, I'm going to do it. Although I don't follow every account, because my whole feed is constantly, you know, filling up with stories. And I started watching it. And the only reason I watched it is because you were talking the whole time in most of the Snapchats. And that's so important. I didn't want to see all the people that were going on, but what was your perspective? So tell us about sort of how that opportunity came about. And like, what was your experience? Because end of December, I mean, Snapchat got a lot of attention, but really January 1st, in the first 2 weeks, that's when it really blew up.
Yeah, for sure. So that was like one of the craziest things I've ever done in my whole life. And how that came about is really interesting, because I've had a lot of people, especially within like the Snapchat creator community, kind of reach out to me since and like ask me about it. And a lot of people think that it's like, whoa, like you must have so many followers, like blah, blah, blah. But like the people who hired me to do that had never seen a single thing I had ever done on Snapchat. They just knew that I did it. So LiveX is the company that does that. They're like a live broadcasting company, and they do the live stream for New Year's Eve in Times Square every year. They've done it since 2007. And that's like the biggest webcast in the entire world. Like, they have so many people from all over the world watch it. It's crazy. And I knew the CEO of LiveX through just like a friend. Like, it's, I'll try and tell it in a short story. I told the story on my Snapchat the other day, but basically a year ago, I was in a job that I didn't like and I was trying to find a new job. So I was just like cold call stalking people on LinkedIn, and I got connected to this girl from BuzzFeed, and I was like, hey, your job looks cool. Can I buy you coffee? And she said yes. And we hung out. And then she was like, I don't think that you want to work. Like, she didn't know if I wanted to work in PR. She did PR for BuzzFeed. She's like, let me connect you to a friend of mine who works in video, because I knew, she knew I wanted to work in video. And that was this guy. And this was over a year ago. So then we like had a good chat. He gave me a lot of really good advice, but like that didn't ultimately turn into a job right then. And then I did end up working in social after that. But we stayed connected. He followed me on Twitter. And just from seeing me tweet about, you know, doing my show on the Shorty Awards Snapchat every week, or just seeing me tweet about my own Snapchat or things that I was doing, he knew that I did it. So it came around time for them to get ready for the webcast, and he was like, I think I want to add Snapchat as like another layer to our webcast this year. But he wasn't on Snapchat. He didn't know anyone on Snapchat, and he didn't know anything about it, and like didn't even have the app on his phone. So he just emailed me and was like, would you be interested in doing this? And I was like, absolutely. Are you kidding? Like, this is so cool. So it was really, really interesting. And it all happened really quickly. Like, they hired me to do it like maybe 2.5 weeks before.
Oh, wow.
New Year's. And then we launched the account 9 days before New Year's. So I had, and over Christmas, I had 9 days to kind of get that whole project off the ground.
I tell you, Mr. Ryan Seacrest is in for a run for his money, because I followed the New Year's Eve Times Square ball account that you were running on Snapchat, and I didn't even watch the broadcast on TV this year. I was following you, and a lot of folks in the social media community, they were talking about you, which is cool. So, you know, much kudos to you and the work that you're putting in. So you mentioned some of the creators, or you haven't mentioned anyone yet, but you mentioned creators. And I want to take some time to talk about that. Who are some of the folks that you look up to in the space, whether it's Snapchat or just creators in general, and what impact have they made on you specifically?
Sure. This is a good question. See, I'm so in this space, like through stuff that I do with Shorty Awards, and it's just kind of like genuinely like a passion of mine that like so many people are coming to mind right now. but I'll try and narrow it down to a few. Probably the first person that got me really interested in the digital space and like being your own brand and doing personal storytelling would be Grace Helbig. She's like, you know, maybe the biggest YouTuber right now. Mm-hmm. She was the first one that I started following, and I've been watching her videos since I was like a junior in college, and I just absolutely love her. I love like the trajectory of her career, and she does a really, really good job of putting herself out there and being accessible and being relatable with, but like still setting boundaries for herself. And there's certain things that she won't talk about, and she always like puts the emphasis that like, I'm here to be like a comedic entertainer. I'm not here to like daily vlog my every move. Like I'm here for a purpose. Like I'm a performer, and I think she's really, really talented. And I've kind of taken a lot of, I think, I don't want to say tips, but I think a lot of my strategy kind of has been influenced by her. Mm-hmm. On Snapchat, definitely Yes Jules. She's my favorite person on Snapchat, and I think that she was one of the first people who really, really got the medium. And she was like a really good frame of reference for like when I first started using Snapchat more. Like I was out of the people who followed me on Snapchat who were just like my friends and people I knew in real life and the people that I followed, like I was the only person who was doing like, you know, selfie mode talking to the camera and like doing really, really long stories. And I had some friends be like, yo, like, why are your stories 150 seconds long? Like, what's going on here? And they'd be like, why are you talking to Snapchat? And I would be like, okay, listen, like, you don't get it. And I would always tell them, like, follow Yes Jules for a day and you'll get it. Yep. And, like, think that when I can say that about someone, like, that's how you know that they're doing it right. Exactly. I also think that she does a really good job of, like, showing her life really honestly. So, like, yeah, she's, like, you know, hanging out with Wiz Khalifa and, like, at this movie premiere. And, like, she's going to the Grammys soon and doing this and doing that. But she's also showing her, like, working until 1 a.m. And she's showing, you know, her in meetings and her being so tired. And I think that a lot of times people pick and choose what they want to show on social media, and she's, you know, all in and really showing what she's doing honestly. And I've definitely taken tips from that, because I'll get message. I have a lot of like younger girls who follow me who like just think it's so cool that I live in New York and so cool that I live in social, or that I work in social. And, you know, they'll see me like, you know, dressed up at the Shorty Awards or this, that, and the other thing. And that's why I make it a point to like Snapchat when I have no makeup on, and like Snapchat when like days aren't going amazingly, or when I'm working and it's like 1:30 in the morning because I'm a freelancer and I'm balancing a bunch of different projects. And I think that because like if I was that age and I had someone who had a job that I wanted, I would love if Snapchat would have existed when I was in high school to see like what their day is. And I think
I would have gotten in a lot of trouble if Snapchat existed when I was in high school back in the 90s.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I definitely think that if I was on social media as much when I was younger as I am now, that I would definitely have some regrets. but yeah, I think that it's, and I think a lot of people tend to like romanticize living in New York and romanticize like, you know, being young and trying to like further your career into like, it's all like, you know, beautiful and easy and roses. And I think that showing it honestly is kind of like, not to overstate my importance in this space, but I think it's kind of like almost my duty to be like, this is what it actually takes and this is what it actually looks like. So, okay, we got Grace Helbig, we got Yes Jules. I'm trying to think of who else. I really like Tristan Tales. I've talked about him before. He's nominated, him and Jules are actually nominated for Shorty Awards this year. I think that he was one of the first people that I followed who really latched on to storytelling in as like, you know, narrative storytelling. And like what I do, I think is closer to A, like a daily vlog, and B, like like my background in journalism. Like I love to interview people. I love to do event coverage. Like Times Square Ball was the perfect gig for me because I love doing live events and I think Snapchat's perfect for live events. But Tristan's like making mini movies over there and they're always like really, really good. And he works with brands, but he's really transparent about it and is making good content for those brands. So I would say those three right now, but a million others. I'm always on the internet and I'm always taking tips from other people. So
it's so interesting because I know that a lot of social media platforms, like Facebook is one of them that I barely use. I mean, I almost like use it because it's almost like if you're not on Facebook, people are like, wait, like what does she have to hide? But I don't actually like use the platform because I agree. Like it's all about, you know, what am I doing? You know, it's more of like a chronological like timeline of your life. That's like really, really nice versus like, what did you do that day? Right? Like, how did you feel that day? And I've definitely like, I didn't know that Yes Jules was your inspiration, but now that you say it, like it completely makes sense. And sometimes I'm like, I need to be a little bit more transparent in the way that I tell my story. And it's not that I'm not, it's just like those moments of like for a chick to literally wake up and Snapchat, that is like huge. Like, I don't think people understand like how much that connects with people. And I've heard this from other women too, that are really transparent, like our good friend Anna Hendricks, where, you know, like girls really need that. They really need to know, you know, what it's like working. It's not just, oh, you know, like I'm going to wake up, I'm going to go to my fancy office, someone's going to bring me coffee, like my makeup's going to look good the moment that I wake up. I mean, there's really like this process and this hustle that's a part of it. And it's really nice, especially like a younger woman in this industry, you know, trying to make all these opportunities come about. I mean, I just absolutely, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think that it's the digital space in general is kind of like a hard place to be as a girl because it's like, you know, you kind of get put into these boxes where it's like, okay, well, you know, are you an Instagram model or are you like a funny girl on Twitter? Like, are you a YouTube comedian or are you a beauty guru? And it's like, dang, like, just let me live. Like,
in general, like, everyone's trying to like find their place, like, in the ecosystem of today's online world is how I feel. And, you know, I think transparency is definitely a major key of success. Just taking a little play off of DJ Khaled, who Saba and I seem to bring up on every episode of Social 545.
So not native from Shorty Award?
No, which I have voted for many times. I just want to add it, shortyawards.com. But, like, here's the thing. You had mentioned before how you use Snapchat is almost like vlogging. And, honestly, I started up a vlog back in, it was 2014. I'm really good friends with Phil O'Reilly, who's dating Charles Trippi's sister, Melissa. And he got me into vlogging and I felt really awkward and out of place walking around with a camera all the time.
Yeah.
Just like, honestly, I like felt odd, like going out in public, holding up this camera. And then when I got into Snapchat right around the same time, it was like, you know what? I can record this content. I always have my cell phone on me. So it's not as awkward as walking around with the camera. And I can also take this content, save it, clip it together, then put it on YouTube and voila. So I've looked at Snapchat since the jump as honestly a utility that helps me create content in real time.
Yeah.
And the great part about it is that, to your point earlier, people can see what happens behind the scenes. Facebook, Twitter, it's almost like manicured content when you think about it. People really methodically think through, what am I going to post on Facebook? And my life is either going to come across as amazingly great or amazingly bad.
Yeah.
There's not really that in-between balance. Whereas Snapchat, I think both of y'all have touched on it. It's from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep and everything else that happens in between. And I think that's where a lot of us are gravitating to now, because we see, like, you can see what happens in people's lives. And you can also open up, and people are really resonating to that.
Absolutely.
One thing I'm curious about, Frankie, is you mentioned that like the Times Square Ball takeover, it was something that they hadn't even done before. Like, you launched the account 9 days before. For those that are kind of, you know, I'm not sure about Snapchat, really, like, where's my audience? Like, you know, they're really worried about analytics, all the things that are very vanity metrics driven. Tell us about like what the engagement was and what was the feedback you got from launching that account?
That's a really good question. So I'll talk about engagement first. That was like a big thing for me from the jump. I was like, okay, like I have 9 days and I want to make this the biggest thing ever, just because like that's how I am. Like, I'm all in or nothing. Like, I wasn't going to do it and like, you know, only do it halfway. So my strategy going in was, okay, I'm going to launch this account. I have 9 days. We're going to push it out on social as hard as we can. And I'm going to have content every day for people to watch to kind of like build the buzz, to kind of be like, all right, you know, Christmas is happening, whatever. And I just saw an opportunity there because, like, how, like, there's so many, like, younger people on Snapchat who I guarantee you, and, like, maybe this says more about our society than it should, but, like, we're probably sitting in their house on Christmas Day on their phones. You know what I mean? Like, so bored, and, like, they're all off of school. Like, they all, like, don't have anything to do. So, like, why not make some awesome Snapchat content to entertain them? So I reached out to the community of influencers on Snapchat that I've worked with before or that I was connected to, and I just kind of said, like, I'm working on this project. I'd love for you guys to be involved. And for every different day of the week, I scheduled a Snapchatter to kind of log into the account, do a little story where they're basically saying, like, hey, this is who I am. Like, this is where I'm from. This is what I do on Snapchat. If you want to follow me, you can. So it was kind of like perpetuating the community vibe. But then also they would say, like, this is where I'm watching the ball drop from, and use, like, geo filters to show, like, where they were in the world. And then give their New Year's resolution. And it was kind of like a mini campaign, you could say. And the premise for me was to really push that, like, the whole world was going to be watching the ball drop together. And, like, you know, there's New Year's celebrations all over the world, but, like, it's really, really happening in Times Square in New York City. It's the largest celebration. It's one of the oldest. So that really, really helped. And I got a ton of engagement from that just because people, like, love to see their favorite Snapchatters on stuff. So people were, like, screenshotting stuff and tweeting it and being like, oh my God, like, I saw so-and-so and all that. And then when it came to the night of, I actually worked with Nick Cicero at Del Mondo. He's a good friend of mine. He was so amazingly helpful in this project. He did analytics for me on Snapchat. So it was really cool because the days leading up, like, we would hop on the phone or he'd shoot me a text and let me know, like, how many followers we got in so many, like, amount of time and how long people were watching things. And then we had, like, a meeting after, so, like, after Times Square Ball happened, like, that night and the next day, like, I got a ton of really great feedback from people who, like, watched it and said that they loved it. Like, people were tweeting about it. Like, people who didn't know me were, like, you know, reaching out. And I thought that that was really, really cool. But I was really kind of like, I was like, okay, I don't want to, like, celebrate until I get these analytics back. And then when I had the meeting with Nick, I looked at it and I was like, I was honestly, like, jaw dropped shocked because, like, through his analytics, we were able to figure out that we had a 93% retention rate, which means that, like, it was a 15-minute video. I have it on my phone. I downloaded it the next day. So we got, like, of all of the people who watched, 93% of them watched the entire thing.
And that's, like, that's crazy. I remember I was one of the people who tweeted you, and then you actually tweeted me back, and I said, like, oh, I'm watching you on, you know, this account. You're doing amazing. And you, like, tweeted back really quickly, even though I knew you were, like, constantly making content. But yeah. 93% retention rate, like, I don't even know if any other social media platform is getting that type of retention.
Exactly. And, like, I was just, like, so blown away because, like, try to get someone to watch a 15-minute video on any other platform. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not going to happen. And I think that's why Snapchat, and I think that people really, really overlook this. Like, the fact that you can, like, go at your own pace on Snapchat and you can tap through things that aren't interesting to you, or, you know, you can leave it and come back to it and still be in the exact same spot, I think is, like, so important. And I think that's honestly, like, the only reason that we would have had that many people engaged for that long.
You know, Frankie, so let's dive a little deeper into the Shorty Awards. So Saba and I, we devoted an entire episode of Social 545 to talk about the Shorties, and specifically Snapchatter of the Year as well as Periscoper of the Year. We called the Shorties the Oscars or the Grammys of social media influencers. How is this event different and unique from other awards presentations out there?
Sure. I would say that the Shorties is different because they're really out to celebrate the small creators, and they're out to celebrate, you know, like, short content and, you know, people who are having not just, and it's not about followers and it's not about, you know, even engagement or things like that. It's kind of like who's taking their place in social media and kind of doing something bigger than themselves with it. And, you know, that's what made me excited about them as a company. And, you know, that's why I made the decision to work with them. And it's been really, really fun.
And the website that folks can go to, we plugged it several times in our last episode. We'll plug it again, shortyawards.com. There's some really fun categories, like Vine Artist of the Year, Instagrammer of the Year, YouTuber. Is there a certain category, Frankie, that you have a soft spot in your heart for?
I mean, I think you already know Snapchatter. I just love that it's a category. This isn't the first year that they did it, but I love that people are taking it more seriously and people are really stoked on that category this year because Snapchat is so big right now. I also really, really love, we have an activism category, which is just really, really cool. And I was going through that the other day and going through people's profiles, and there are a lot of people who are really honestly making a difference through social media, and having the chance to recognize them in a way that is like honest and genuine, it like really means a lot to me to be a part of. We have Periscope and You Now. Those are new categories this year, and I'm really excited about that. I mean, Periscope is still really, really young. Mm-hmm. You Now has been around for a while, but people haven't really been taking it super seriously, and there's some like mega stars on You Now. And I think it just kind of proves that like live streaming and like, you know, those types of things are have a place in this digital space, and the people are taking them more seriously. So those are the ones that I'm super, super excited about. Yeah, just all of them really. And the GIF category. So we have a category where people can vote for their GIF of the year, and they're all so funny. And I really think that everyone should go to the website even just to look at those, because they'll brighten your day for sure.
That's a really good category. I was definitely checking those out. I know Carlos and I talked about that offline. You talked a little bit about sort of how you were able to kind of garner a following before you decided to do the Times Square Ball. Tell us a little bit about like your www.show that you do on the Shorty Awards account on Snapchat, because I've been watching it every time that you do it. I think it's every Wednesday night, I believe. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah, so tell us about that, just to make sure everyone knows. So you run the Shorty Awards Snapchat account as well as your own Snapchat account, just if anyone wants to follow you and see, you know, where they can find your content.
Sure. So, yeah, after I took over the Shorty Awards Snapchat last year at the award show, we got, like, a ton of followers that night just from, A, we were posting a lot, and B, we were, you know, like, we were doing interviews with, like, Tyler Oakley. So people were, like, screenshotting it and tweeting it, being like, oh, my God, Tyler's on this account, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, other creators too, obviously. So we got all these followers, and at that point I wasn't working for the Shorty Awards, but I remember thinking, like, you can't just sit on this for a year. You know what I mean? Like, we can't do nothing. Like, that's crazy. And then shortly after that, they asked me to sign on with them to run all their social media. So I'm their community manager. I run all of their social media profiles. Running their Twitter is super, super fun, especially now that people are, you know, in the voting stages. But yeah, so then we kind of sat down and we were trying to think about what we wanted to do around Snapchat. And a week after the Shorty Awards, we just kind of threw together a story because I was on Tumblr and I noticed that a lot of people were talking about the Shorty Awards on Tumblr, and they were making like fan edits of people giving acceptance speeches, and they were like drawing pictures of like Taylor Swift and Thomas Sanders with like Shorty logos in it. And I was like, people are making like really awesome content. Like, we should talk about it. So we did a kind of like, you know, probably what we could now call like the beta of www dot, where I just went through all of the different social channels and I searched the Shorty Awards hashtag, and I talked about the, like, the what people were saying about it, like the GIFs they were making, the videos they were making, and those sorts of things. And then from there, I, you know, the idea came about really, really naturally, just because the Shorty Awards honors the digital space and it's something that I have a huge passion for. So I just kind of jumped in and said, you know, each week we're going to talk about, you know, what app update just came out and what's big in tech news, like who had a big week on social that week. And then I started picking, like, here's my favorite Snapchatter, like, here's my favorite Vine of this week, this is the best YouTube video that I saw. And because it's Snapchat and because it's, like, only there for 24 hours, like, doing it once a week, it allowed it to be, like, really, really current and, you know, really... And, like, I am a community manager, like, as, like, for a living. Like, I'm a freelancer. I have a few other clients aside from the Shorty Awards. So, like, I'm on Twitter all day. So, like, I know what people are talking about. So it was, you know, really an easy transition to be like, okay, here's what's happening in social. Let me package this and put it together in a way that people watching Snapchat will enjoy and understand and, you know, be entertained by. So we do www. every Wednesday night on the Shorty Awards Snapchat. That handles just Shorty Awards. And then my personal Snapchat is WT Frankie.
Awesome. You know, Frankie, I want to pick your brain here for a moment, because there's a lot of folks that are just hearing about Snapchat for the first time, quite frankly. You know, Gary Vee. Actually, I've seen a lot of tweets with you mentioning Gary Vee. So let's get to that.
I know.
Actually, you know what? Let's talk about that for a second. This is an opportunity for you to go ahead and say your pitch, if you will. I think you want to get Gary Vee on your podcast, is it?
No, not on my podcast. I want him to be on the Shorty Award show.
You want him to be on the Shorty Award show?
Yeah. So I've done www. With guests a handful of times. I had Danny Burke. He's a Snapchatter. I had him on there. D'Infante, he works for Thrillist. He's a journalist, and then he also runs their entire Snapchat, and he's pretty big on Snapchat in his own right. He's also nominated for
He's amazing. The Thrillist account is absolutely, like, on fire. And I'm such a foodie, so it completely works.
Yeah, and they're doing things that no one else is doing, which I think is awesome. So when I do the show with guests, it's a lot more fun, and it's typically the same kind of spiel. So, like, we'll talk about what's new and what's going on, but then I have someone to be like, what do you think? And then I ask them, like, who's your favorite person on Vine? Who's your favorite person on Snapchat? And I like having guests from, like, all different corners of the internet and all different, you know, people who are different from me because, right. You know, like, I'm on the internet a lot, but there's still things that I'm not seeing.
Right.
So I've done the show a lot of times, and I had people introduce me to creators that I had never heard of and that I now love. So about, like, 3 weeks ago, I just kind of got it in my head that I wanted Gary Vee to be on the show. And I think I initially kind of threw it out there as a joke. But then after, like, I saw, like, people were kind of latching onto it, I was like, this could happen because he's so all in on Snapchat right now. And he believes in Snapchat so much as a medium that I was like, he might do it. So I basically started my own campaign. The hashtag is Shorty Snap with Gary, if you would like to join. and I made a video in, like, I just put it on my Snapchat story, and then I downloaded the few couple clips that talked about it, and I edited them together, and I put it on Twitter, and I tagged him in it, and I've just been, like, asking people for the past 3 weeks, every couple days, like, you know, tweet Gary, snap Gary, and it's been awesome. Like, so if you go through the hashtag, like, on Twitter, there's so many tweets from people who are just, like, into it and, like, want to see it happen. And people have, like, made me, like, they've photoshopped pictures of me and Gary and made, like, little flyers and sent them to me so I can put them on Instagram. Like, it's been really, really cool. And I there's a couple people who work for VaynerMedia who watch the show and are like, all right, like, let me see if I can do something for you, which I think is amazing.
Hey, you got to work those contacts.
Exactly. Exactly. And so he tweeted me finally the other day, and he, like, tagged his assistant in it, and he said, figure out how much time Frankie needs. And so his assistant tweeted me and gave me his email address, and I've emailed him and I've followed up. I haven't heard anything yet, but we're remaining positive, and
fingers
we're
crossed.
Assuming that soon there will be an episode of www. with co-host Gary Vaynerchuk.
Well, definitely let us know. We're going to tweet it out for you. We'll give you a shout out.
Yeah.
We're excited for that. We had an episode about the Gary Vee effect.
Yeah.
Probably the first week of January, Carlos, we did this show, and it was absolutely amazing. The responses that we got about, and it wasn't just about, you know, him pushing Snapchat. It was really about how he's able to get a whole community of people to come behind something that so many people were doubtful about. And now we're watching the Daily V and how he's talking to all these celebrities. You know, he, like, sits there and he's like, get on Snapchat right now. And people are buying it. And so that was a really amazing episode. So I'm glad that you also have, you're a part of the Vayner Nation, let's just say.
We're all loyal disciples of Gary Vaynerchuk in one way or another, you know. And that leads me, Frankie, to my next question. It's actually, you know, a two-part question. So as we all know, Snapchat has evolved from where it started 4 years ago. And it kind of used to have this negative persona, if you will, this reputation of it was where kids go to sext and do all that crazy stuff. And now, obviously, folks like Gary Vee, we're talking about, they are evangelizing the platform. They're driving their networks there. So, you know, where do you see Snapchat headed is, you know, first of all, my first question. And two, for anyone who's on the fence, whether they should be on, what are a couple tips, maybe two or three tips that you would give to whether it's a person or a brand in terms of getting started on Snapchat?
Sure. I mean, I definitely think that 2016 is going to be the year of Snapchat. Like, 2015 was big for it, but it's like we're still not even there yet. I think that a year from now, you're not going to know a single person who isn't on Snapchat, and you're not going to know of a single brand that's not, like, tweeting out their Snapcode or putting their Snapcode in their stores and that kind of thing. I think that over the next year, you're going to see a lot more people putting in a strategy, and I think that it's kind of like, you know, a calm before the storm situation. Like, it might get weird over the next few months because, I mean, if you remember, like, when all the brands jumped on Twitter and when all the brands jumped on Instagram, like, they weren't great at it. Like, right. So I think that we can expect like a lot of people to, you know, like try and fail, but I think that's awesome. And I mean, there's definitely things that I've done on Snapchat where I'm like, ugh, that wasn't great. I won't do it again. But that's what you have to do. Like, you just kind of have to, and I mean, for anyone who's considering getting on Snapchat, but they're like nervous about it, like you just kind of got to go all in, throw things against the wall and see what sticks. And like, that's why you have mm-hmm. the advantage of it. Things only lasting for 24 hours and like people can't go back and look at it. And I mean, it's a blessing and a curse. I personally love it. A lot of people get frustrated by it because they're like, you put all this effort into it and then it's gone. But I think that it kind of lets you evolve your yeah. brand and your style.
Yeah, Saba and I, you bring up a good point. Saba and I were actually talking about this yesterday. I was actually chatting with a brand marketer, not going to say the company, but he uh-huh. was saying to me, and his brand is on Snapchat. He was saying they do not see the value on Snapchat because the content disappears after a day. And like Saba and I were talking, tell me when was the last time you went to a brand's Twitter account and you scrolled down to see tweets that were a week old?
Never. I would never in my life do it. I wouldn't do it on Twitter. I would maybe do it on Instagram if it was like a really good lifestyle brand. But like, you know, it's a 24-hour news cycle and you gotta keep up with it. And, you know, like I don't want to like say someone does like a really amazing. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of like really cool content being created around like the Super Bowl. That's probably like the next big mm-hmm. thing that's coming up in the world of advertising. And there's going to be I know a few Snapchatters that are working on campaigns for that. And I think that's really, really cool. But like, I'm not going to care about it a week later. Like, I'm not going to want to watch it a week later. You know what I mean? Like, it's I think that a lot of people are so hung up on, and I've heard that before. I've done some like social strategy and like Snapchat strategy for brands. And I've gone into like a few companies and just kind of done like a consultation. And really honestly, like what it is me like meeting people, becoming friends with them and teaching them how to Snapchat. Like that's how I like to explain what I do. And a lot of people get real hung up on mm-hmm. that 24 hours. But then as they start using it more and they see the engagement and they see the people responding to them, they're like, oh, I get it. Like, this is a messaging platform. Like, it's not like it is a content creation platform, but if you think of Snapchat as a messaging platform, I think you can kind of wrap your mind around like why things go away after 24 hours and why it still has such a benefit to you even if you are a brand.
One thing that is so interesting is that Gary Vaynerchuk just came out with his article about Snapchat, and it's really, really good. If anyone hasn't read it, I would definitely recommend that you do so, because he talks a lot about not just the landscape of Snapchat and what's happening right now, but he really talks about the history and sort of why it evolved the way it did. And one thing that you mentioned that he also mirrored, and I completely agree with, is that Snapchat really won over millennials and, you know, the younger generation is because they were able to actually capture real life. I mean, when you go to like a football event or when you go to like your friend's house or whatever you might do, I mean, that's a fleeting moment. I mean, yeah. you're going to remember it, but after like a couple of days, like you don't really know what happened. And so I think the fact that it just captures really how we live our lives is the most important thing, right? And so when people say like, oh, it's not going to be there after 24 hours. It's like, well, you can save it. There's so many like hacks that you yeah. can use in order to really like repurpose that content. But it's like the consumption real time is the most valuable thing. And you said it, like 93% retention rate for 15 minutes for a story that was only there for 24 hours. I mean, that is impressive. So I think that's why Snapchat specifically has been thriving among the other social networks.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
All right, so we have had an amazing interview. I mean, I really don't even want this to end. We're past yeah. our usual mark, but I know this is super fun. But so let's just end with like one final question. Like 2016 has came out to be a really, really strong year for social, especially Snapchat, all of our favorite platforms. So what are you most excited about this year? You mentioned, you know, 2016 is the year of Snapchat, but what is it that's like on the horizon that you're just like, I am so excited to talk about this. You know, a decade from now, you're going to look back to 2016 and be like, that was the moments that I loved.
Sure. I mean, I am just really, really ready for brands to kind of go all in on this. And for, you know, there's so many people in my personal life that I've been like, you got to get on Snapchat. And now they're doing it. And I love it. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm just excited for people to start embracing the authenticity of it. And I mean, I work in social media marketing, and I see a lot of really bad social media marketing. And I think that, you know, if people jumping onto Snapchat, whether it's because, you know, they are working with Del Mondo and they're really seeing the analytics and the ROI, or if they're, you know, following Gary Vee, and he's like really evangelizing around it. Like whatever it takes to get people on Snapchat, I think that if they go all in and if they kind of adopt the mentality of like transparency, like authenticity and creative good content, like this could change the entire landscape of social media, and it could change the entire landscape of social media marketing. And we'll go back to a place where, you know, social media is where actual conversations are being had and where really great content's being created and shared and built upon, and not just constantly being marketed to and constantly being broadcasted out to, and like use this hashtag, enter this contest, mm-hmm. like, you know, screenshot this and repost. Like if we can get to a point where every like brand and every like media outlet, every agency is just kind of like taking the people that they have, putting them on camera, and like everyone's telling their own stories, I think we'll all be in like a much bigger place. And then for me personally, I'm just really excited to see, you know, where Snapchat takes me. Like I've gotten a lot of really cool opportunities just from doing Snapchat, and I have some really cool opportunities coming up, and we'll hopefully get to travel a lot. And I, you know, I would just love to keep working with brands and keep, you know, teaching people what I know about Snapchat, what I love about the platform, and then also just like, you know, really embracing and engaging the community that's following me. Like I've met so many cool people just through them following me on Snapchat. And I've had so many people like reach out to me and say that like something that I've said has really connected to them. And like, I don't take that for granted. I think that's amazing. And I think that I'm very, very lucky to be in a position like that. And I want to just kind of keep using it to talk about things that I care about and to promote things that I care about, but like also, you know, stay authentic, because that's the name of the game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, before we round out, Frankie, you mentioned a mutual friend of ours, Nick Cicero of Del Mondo. Yes. Nick, I give a lot of the credit to for helping me have the career that I have today in mm-hmm. Corporate brand marketing and social media. So I'm so glad that you brought him up. He's definitely a good friend and someone that I am personally very thankful for.
Yeah. For sure.
Frankie, before we round out this episode, where can our listeners connect with you at?
Sure. So first and foremost, Snapchat. It's the social media profile I use the most. My username is WT Frankie. Not the most PC thing in the world, but sorry, Mom. Then I'm also on Twitter at Frankie Greek. It's just my first and last name, G-R-E-E-K. A lot of people think it's geek at first. It's not. I also, on my Twitter, I meant to mention this earlier, I wrote a Medium article called, like, 5 Reasons Your Snapchat Sucks, like, aimed at brands, and it's my link on my Twitter bio, so if you're a brand on Snapchat, I would definitely consider checking that out. There's some good free tips in there for you. And then I'm on Instagram, too, What the Frankie, all spelled out. All of my handles are different because I am the worst. Working on it.
Be sure to go ahead and follow Frankie, Snapchat, Instagram, you name it, LinkedIn. And also, if you're listening to this, make sure that you visit snapchat.directory, where mm-hmm. you can add your Snapchat username to a growing list of Snapchat peeps. You can gain friends on there, and you can also connect with Frankie, Saba, and myself.
Sure. And don't forget to check out Shorty Awards, shortyawards.com. Voting is from now until February 18th. Also, if you are a brand or a media agency that is interested in entering something into the Shorty Awards, there's the influencer competition, which you guys talked about a lot last time and we talked about today. But then there's also the industry side where they're honoring like really good campaigns, kind of how we were talking earlier, how like there's a lot of noise in social media marketing. So they like to really honor the campaigns that are doing well and are creative and really, really good. And brands can enter those until the 18th at Well. And that's industry.shortyawards.com.
Boom. Frankie Greek, you have been amazing. I echo Saba's sentiment. We could probably chat with you for the next hour.
I know.
Thank you so much.
We'll do this again sometime.
We definitely will. Thank you so much for joining us here on Social 545.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure that you check out shortyawards.com to vote.
Yep.
And we will see you guys next time here on Social 545.
Peace, everyone.
See ya.
You've been listening to Social 545. Be sure to tune in weekly to stay in the know of what's trending in social media.